Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning. You are listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, from Mexicali and Imperial Valleys. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingüe. And your hosts today are Scott Dudley.
You never run out of gas at that point.
I know. Scott Dudley, yours truly, Maria Wyatt. Our phone number here again at the station is 337-8874. And also don't forget to access our podcast at kxoradio.com.
Every morning I kind of, when I listen to Maria, I'm kind of ticking off all the items that we're supposed to cover. And at a certain point, I know she's going to cover them all, and I'm like, I start getting like desperate, like, okay, everything's been said. What am I going to say? And I was going to say, like, summertime and the living is easy. And I was going to, you know, do something like that just to kind of warm us up, and then she runs out of gas halfway through, and I'm like, oh,
uh-oh.
What did she get the website? Or anyhow.
Anyway.
We are Let's Talk About
yes,
It.
Yes, we are, and let's not forget about tomorrow. It's the premiere of the, for all you Harry Potter fans.
Yes,
tomorrow at the movies in Imperial, they're going to have a movie premiere party only for 21 and over. So, sorry for all the kids. This is all for 21 and over. It starts at 5:30. They're going to have cocktails. That's why it's only 21 and over.
Hey, stay tuned for today's topic, by the way.
They're going to have a gift shop for Harry Potter, costume contest, and the movie starts at 7 p.m., and the tickets are $20, and this is brought to you by the Imperial County Film Commission. And the deadline to purchase the tickets was July the 8th, but, you know, you can always contact them and see if they have...
Go on Craigslist.
Yeah, see if they still have some tickets, and you can call them at 337-4155, and this is sponsored by the Imperial County Film Commission.
And Maria's community calendar is brought to you by the folks at Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and KUBO Radio. Is that it?
Do you got Thank more? You. No, that's it.
Okay. No, I when this first came out, I was like, why are they doing this for adults? This is a kid's movie. This is so weird. And then I kind of did the math in my head. And what happens is the people who were the same age as Harry Potter when the first movie came out are now over the age of 21.
It's been. But, I mean, you can. I mean, you can take minors. You know, it's a PG-13. But, you know, the adults, not to the cocktail or anything like that. Yeah, this is for 21, so.
Yeah.
But still, you can still take them to the party.
Two-thirds of my kids are going to premiere events without cocktails. But two-thirds of my kids are so enthused about seeing this that they've been talking about it for, like, the last month. So,
well, yeah.
Yay.
I think I only saw the first movie, and that's it.
Yeah. Read the books. The books are just masterful. Really, really neat books. So, okay, welcome back.
A lot to read.
Where were we? 337-8874.
Kindle.
Kindle actually doesn't read them any faster. Though.
I know.
Still have to sort through
but
the
it's
words.
Just, you know, they're it's light. And, you know, my mom had, I just got my mom for her Mother's Day gift, a Kindle. And she loves it.
Really?
And, yeah, she's 67 and she's, so it's very easy
you know
to
what? It's,
use.
I'll tell you, I'm worried that because I read a lot, I'm worried that if I sit in front of one more light emitting source of energy, that I'm going to, like, go totally blind because my, you know, you get
There's no light in it. I don't think there is.
No? So it's just like looking at a regular page?
Yeah.
Cool. I may Kindle something here at some point. Grow up and get, like, new technology. Welcome aboard.
Welcome.
This is your wellness radio that we've just kind of piddled away 5 minutes of. Mario, like, reading his mind, aren't I?
I know. Mario's saying, how are we going to do this at the podcast? Cut it off.
I was going to do the names backwards. We're here with Smart Recovery. We have the Smart Recovery folks because they are the folks that really are out there behind the scenes pushing in the community for Smart Recovery.
Which stands for?
Susan Ireland, first.
Smart Recovery stands for Self-Management and Recovery Training.
Yes. Otherwise known, a.k.a. SMART, which, like, if you add up all those words, that adds up to SMART. And we've got Don Gorham in the house. And, you know, for those of you out in the community who've danced with Don at one time or another, whether, you know, it was out at Broken Spoke or over at VOA or any of his haunts, because Don's been haunting this place for years, out at the toy drives.
Yes.
Don is an iconic figure in the Imperial Valley, and in many, many, many people have like little Don tattoos because Don helped get them where they really needed to go, and Don made it okay for them to go there. He didn't actually do the work. He wished he could, but he can't. But he knew he couldn't, and he made it okay for them to do it. Welcome aboard, Don.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for having us here today. Hopefully we can give you a little information regarding the SMART program. I think the person that has most of the information is Susan, the facilitator, but I don't want to take over your job, Scott. So. Thanks for having me.
See, he's letting me do the work. I told you. He's got that power.
I'm semi-retired.
Playing golf. Shooting golf. Do you play golf or shoot golf?
I attempt to play golf. I attempt it. It's a tough, tough game.
You get a week of nice weather, though. You going to get out and play?
Yeah, well, if it's too hot here, I go to San Diego. So.
Oh, nice.
Through this weekend, it's going to stay this kind of weather.
So. And then next week is?
Back to reality
until October.
Yeah.
Until October.
Yeah. There you go. Thanks for coming, Bert Don.
Thank you very much.
Susan. You've been doing SMART recovery groups in the community now for how long?
For a year.
For a year, really?
Yeah, This is the month anniversary for it.
Are you going to get one of those special coins or something?
No.
Ooh.
No.
No.
That's for the other.
That's for NAA.
We need SMART currency,
that's
don't
for
we?
The other
yeah,
one.
We sure do. But it's been going for a year now, so it's been going good. Slow at times, but it's going good. It's picking up.
Do you have a sense of after having, you know, it's really, I think really after a year, you kind of get a chance to see what it's like to kind of bring something brand new and start doing it in picking a place, getting the place, and just going and seeing how that starts and goes. What's that been like for you?
It's been pretty rough, but now I think it's getting stable. And then now that we have this family and friends group, it's bringing in more to my group. So,
well, you explained what it meant, SMART, Self-Management and recovery training. But who is it for and what is the purpose?
The SMART recovery is for the addict with abnormal behaviors, addictive behaviors.
Who doesn't have abnormal behaviors?
No, but
come on. Hands,
the addictive behaviors. And
not
then,
if you're driving. No hands.
Yeah, so but getting people motivated is really what's been our struggle here. But now that we have the family and friends group, I'm hoping that the family and friends will get the addictive ones motivated.
Why would people with patterns of behavior that seem compulsive, is that a fair way to say addictive or something? Yeah, there must be like a politically correct word there somewhere. Why would people who are having problems with their substance use not be motivated to change? Because aren't problems like enough to motivate you to change typically?
Yeah, but let's... We all like to just sit in the problem. We don't want to look for the solution.
It's too hard.
Yeah.
Sometimes the solution.
Yeah. We're afraid of unknown or mm-hmm. of the unknown. Mm-hmm. So basically, we'll sit in the problem.
So it's human nature in some regards.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To just kind of suffer through something because maybe it's less work or less problem to suffer through it than it is to take charge of it and deal with it.
Yeah, that.
That's why people self-medicate and use the drugs, too.
Yeah, and then they don't know what's out there also. They really don't. A lot of people just, you know, they're too lazy to get up and look for an option, you know, recovery. And then a lot of people are afraid of recovery, too. So.
Well, and like I said, summertime and the living's easy. I mean, sometimes it's laziness, sometimes it's paralysis, sometimes it's
too hot.
As you explained, a lack of awareness, and that'll keep you, you know... You know, the rabbit doesn't run to the next hole if the rabbit thinks it's going to get eaten halfway there. And that'll keep you stuck.
It's dodges.
Experience, huh? So you've been out in the community talking to people and running this group consistently now for a year.
Yes. twice a week for a year now.
Wow.
Yeah, and well.
How many people have come around? I mean,
right now in my group, I have 6 people.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and it's getting bigger.
And it's same 6, or does it kind of vary from week to week, or?
Same 6 show up, and then.
So you get a core now, basically.
Yeah, and then newcomers every week, but they're always welcome, and yeah, we learn a lot from them because our group feeds off each other. So, you know, it's just like one big family.
Okay, well, so let's say, well, it's 7:52 in the morning, and typically people with substance use problems don't get up this early, but some of them.
Oh, they've been up all night.
But some of them do, and because they're kind of trying to gut it out here and keep the day job and, you know, keep going. It's not like, see, I think one of the misconceptions perhaps is everyone with a substance use problem is like unemployed and whatever. I think there's probably a few employed people walking around with stuff too.
Yeah, there sure is.
So let's say I got a substance use problem, and I kind of in the back of my mind thinking, you know, this isn't going to end pretty. Eventually, I'm going to have to do something about this. What does SMART offer me that might be useful to me at this point? Just kind of sitting here driving in my car to work, going, meow, you know, this is kind of a habit. And maybe a bad habit.
SMART. Well, we offer you, well, I don't know. We just.
Well, so I walk in and I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Let's just say, but I take a chance and I go.
Kind of like the first meeting, we give them
information and how we can help them and make them feel welcome, you know, and let them know that each one of us have a problem. We're all there for a reason. And we make them feel welcome.
So first thing, I guess, is I'm not alone.
Yeah, you're not alone.
Well, for a listener, how much different is it between a SMART group and an AA group?
So what is the difference?
Well, there's like more letters in SMART. And AA comes first alphabetically.
Because you're saying that in SMART group, you know, it's a group.
Yeah.
And then you guys talk to each other.
Yeah. And in AA, we, or in NAAA.
NAAACA.
Yeah. NAAA, they have a 12-step program. Mm-hmm. We don't give you the 12-step program. We are self-reliance rather than powerless. That's what we believe.
Oh, and
it's better that way. I'm not saying it's better that way.
I wonder if you could have both.
Yeah.
Because I kind of like my self-reliance, and I kind of think it comes from a better, deeper place than I could ever manufacture.
Yeah, but and we give you cognitive tools on how to stay clean and sober, and yeah, it's just based on a cognitive behavioral therapy, which is SMART. So.
Mm-hmm.
So are there tools? So I'm driving around. I get a substance use problem. I've taken the plunge. I've taken the challenge. You know, they called me out on the radio. They said it was too chicken to come or too lazy to come, as the case may be. And I said, okay, fine. I'm going to do something. And I show up. Are there like, tools that can help me begin to figure out where I'm at and whether I really need to change or if I want to change or stuff like that?
Yeah, there are tools. There's, like, we have a... coping tool. We have, you know, we give them knowledge, like especially for the for people that are first coming, we give them like the 6 stages of change, and that lets them know how far they are. And we use, enhancing motivation, coping with urges. We also use managing thoughts and feelings and behaviors, balance momentary and enduring satisfactions. So we do a lot of hands-on stuff. We work with problem solving a lot, and it seems to help them. If we give them first, if we start with the motivation and getting them motivated in the beginning.
That can help, not just for addictions and alcohol,
it's for
everything.
Really, it's not just for addictive behaviors.
Going back to school, getting yourself motivated and going back to school.
Yeah.
Or getting you motivated to start exercise.
Yeah, we can use CBAs and ABCs every day, not just for recovery. There for everyday life.
Yeah, for everything.
Yeah, that's why it's self-management.
CBA is the new basketball association, or the NBA
is
on strike.
It's called Benefits Analysis.
Those are good tools.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned when I asked you what is the difference between AA and SMART, and you said, you know, the powerlessness. And for me, you know, Scott kind of, sometimes I do. I don't see myself, I mean,
you're
powerless.
Self-reliant.
I've never seen myself powerless. You know, I have the choices, you know. If I'm in a situation, it's because I put myself in that situation, no one else. But those are the tools that I can use all the time.
Yeah.
Even like, for with my dealing with my 4-year-old daughter. I know, I poor thing. Yeah. I always bring her on, huh?
When people first come into SMART, I like to do a CBA, which is a cost benefits analysis. And it's weighing the pros and cons of using and not using. So that's a good tool.
What's it look like? Can it walk us through one?
Okay, cost benefits analysis would be the advantages and disadvantages of using or not using. And
okay,
the advantages
let's,
and
let's
disadvantages.
Start with, let's yeah. start with the advantages of using. That sounds kind of weird. Okay. Aren't you the anti-drug person?
Come yeah. on. The advantages of using would be staying up. You're being numb. You don't want to deal with reality.
Makes you feel good for a little bit.
Yeah,
all my
a
friends
bit.
Come over.
Yeah, social life. You have more social events. You seem to get things done more. Mm-hmm. You stay up longer, and then
I dance better.
Yeah. Okay. And then the disadvantages would be you sleep longer when you're coming down, or too much money spent.
How much did that DUI cost me?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, jail, and there's a lot of consequences with it. You know, jail, court, probation.
Angry
yeah.
people at me because
family.
I
yeah, and then your family members
your kids.
You could lose your kids. Those are the disadvantages.
I actually misplaced my kids. CPS didn't take them away. I couldn't find them. No, but well, and honestly, I mean.
You weigh out the pros and cons.
Let's talk
yeah.
about balancing pleasures. How much fun is it to be high and try and take care of kids? Goodness.
Oh, no.
I mean, taking care of kids is like its own special pleasure. It shouldn't be mixed with other pleasures.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you mix two of them together, one, of course, is going to be your drug that you mm-hmm. care more for. And your kids are just put off to the side.
Well, yeah, but except that they're still around, which completely
yeah.
ruins
they're
whatever.
Mom,
yeah, exactly.
Mom. Yeah. And then there's no pleasure in them because all they're doing is yelling mom.
Yeah.
I can't even
you're
get
coming
a good
down,
TV show.
Yeah.
Then, you know,
and then when you're coming down, you sleep and they're not there. So, yeah.
Okay, so those are the advantages and disadvantages of using. What was the other flip side of it?
The,
It was advantages and disadvantages of not using, right?
Yeah, no, the advantages and disadvantages of using, and then the disadvantages and advantages
of
not using.
So
the advantages of not using would be you have a better skin complexion, you can pay attention to your kids more.
More money.
Yeah, more money, more time spent.
I'm not driving
yeah.
while anything.
Yeah.
So I can kind of like
less
rest
jail
easy.
Time, less, you know, you're eating right, healthy, you're taking care of yourself.
My brain
mm-hmm.
works.
Yeah. You can actually think clearly. Yeah. And you have
sort
a moment of clarity
relatively.
When you're not
yeah.
using. And you have to face the advantages or disadvantages are facing reality.
Wow. I think that's what
that's
a lot of people,
one of the main problems we have is facing reality.
Because if you don't
mm-hmm.
deal with stuff, it tends to pile up. Huh?
Exactly.
Yeah, and then stress and then. But with Smart Recovery, we teach you stress management.
In reality, you can
yeah.
run, but you cannot hide.
Yeah. But there's a lot of, it's just weighing them out. And that's what I like to work with on the first, like on the first few sessions that they're there, is advantages and disadvantages.
Are there any disadvantages to not using? That was like the remaining square of the Hollywood thing.
Disadvantages to not using, facing reality.
Because it has piled up.
Yeah, yeah, it has piled up. Also, the overwhelming stress, the...
Do you get a bounce back on emotions when you first kind of walk into this thing?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know how to do that, but yeah, we do.
Because you've been kind of putting them aside for a while, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that substance use can sometimes work okay for in its own weird way
yeah.
is putting aside emotions that
depressed.
You didn't, yeah,
yeah.
That you didn't
so
want
depressed.
To feel... But they kind of pile up. It's kind of like
yeah.
a bank account. They earn interest.
It's just
yeah.
negative, very bad interest.
Yeah, people need to learn how to cry and express themselves. And we also give them tools
Why is that your opinion? Why do you believe that?
Why?
Yeah.
I know after I
what
cry.
What good does it do? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It may not do nothing for, you know, you may get a headache or whatever, but at least you're expressing your emotions. You know, you're acknowledging that they're there. And that's the thing that we don't like to do is acknowledge the emotions.
And
that
is good.
Why? Because it's like not cool or what?
Yeah, no. It's not that it's not cool. It makes us feel down and out, and we're just like. Oh.
If you can express your emotions, that's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, and I think that's what we tend for our kids. you know, we don't want them to cry, but that's good for them to cry. Yeah, I mean, let them express. Yes, well, yeah. It's just that's with children, it's good
and
for
then
them.
And if you repress your emotions
yeah.
instead of like expressing,
you're
going to
feel better.
Blow up.
Then that,
gonna,
and I think,
a volcano and, it
and I really
explode.
Think that that happened when, you know, kids are small and mother, you know, they're crying and they said, don't cry, don't cry. They repressed it, you know, and kids
yeah.
learn not to express their emotions and.
Oh, you should hear my house. My kids are always screaming, you know. I teach them how to express.
Yeah, it's good. Express yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking Smart Recovery. We're here with Susan Ireland. We are. Let's talk about your voice for wellness. We are going to take a short top-of-the-hour break. We'll be right back with more show.
You're listening to the complete podcast version of Imperial County's Behavioral Health Service. Let's Talk About It, brought to you by KXORadio.com.
And welcome back. You're still listening to your weekly wellness radio. Let's Talk About It with Scott and Maria. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. And if you missed the first half, you can access it through our podcast in a couple of days at KXORadio.com.
And you see Mario Espinoza, executive producer of
yes.
Let's Talk About It, is actually editing the show while it's happening. So he's... She should be up in 12 minutes.
After he's done with his iPhone.
337-8874. We're here with Don Gorham. We're here with Susan Ireland. We're talking all things smart recovery. And one of the things that's recently come about, Susan, that you've started to engage in is this family and friends support group.
But before that, let us know, can you let us know for our listeners that maybe just tuned in what smart recovery is?
Oh, good point.
And what it stands for.
Smart recovery is self-management and recovery training. That's for addictive behavior. An alternative to AA. It's a nationwide organization that offers free support groups to individuals who desire to gain independence from any type of addictive behavior, mainly alcohol or any drug use.
Say that three times fast.
No.
I like that. You know, addictive behavior, that could be a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And you know... I don't like to think of it as an alternative for some people. For some people, it's like a beer and a chaser, you know?
Yeah.
You take that AA. Oh, I'm sorry. It was a bad analogy, wasn't it?
Yes.
You take that AA, and then you take that smart recovery, because you can't get too much of whatever it is that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it works for you...
Well, it's for the people that maybe AA didn't work, so now they're trying this.
Oh, yeah. And if that's the case, that's cool, right? So what were you underlining? I'm sorry.
Nothing really.
Okay, so you now have a family and friends group. Where and when does that meet?
The family and friends group meets every Tuesday from 4:30 until 5:45 at the Drug and Alcohol Building on State
Mendel
Street.
Building.
Yeah.
1295 State Street, El Centro, California.
Yeah. Thank you.
Suite 204. I'm on it.
Yeah.
I'm on it.
And it's on every Tuesday. So,
and this is just for family members.
Family members only, yeah.
Whose loved one is either using drugs or using alcohol or have an addictive behavior.
Yes.
How much do tickets cost?
Nothing.
It's free.
Everything's absolutely free.
No cost.
Just bring yourself and
Why would you need a group for family?
We need a group for family members because it's hard dealing with the other people, let me just say, with the people with addictive behaviors, it's hard dealing with them, and they go through a lot of stress and emotion, and they don't know how to deal with it, and actually they need recovery for themselves because the people with addictive behavior put them through a lot, and they don't see what they put them through.
They steal their money.
Yeah, they steal their money, they stress them out, you know, and the family members start enabling them, like giving them money just so they stop and so they don't have to see them, like with Malia's or something. So, you know, just to pacify them. But then it becomes like they pick up an addictive behavior, enabling, you know. They feel like they have to. They have to do it. If not, then what's going to happen?
Well, because you don't love me if you don't do it. Come on.
Yeah.
I got this game.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've gotten calls and, you know, we have an adolescent program. We get calls and I get mothers calling about their kids. You know, I have, you know, my son is using drugs. You know, he comes in at all times of the day, at night, and steals my stuff, you know. And I say, you know what, we can help you. We can help you. What school is your son going to? No, he's 43 years old. And I go, you know, and I feel bad. I go, no, this is for an adolescent program. And for a time, we didn't have the adult program anymore. And actually, it's gone, our adult treatment program. But now we have SMART. And yeah. At that time, I didn't have a place for her. There was no longer VOA. You know, there was no an adult outpatient program.
There's no Al-Anon group
for
the mom?
Yeah, this is the only group in California and Arizona for family and friends.
And I felt, I mean, you could hear the voice of her voice, you know. And I really, I mean, I thought when she was talking about my son, you know, my son, and I thought truly that it was, you know, a child, teenager.
Yeah.
But it was 43 years old.
Yeah, we have more parents coming
and
in.
And probably truly a teenager. Huh.
Yeah. We have them for actually
so
adults,
for her.
You know, the parents of adults rather than the children, because they pretty much, you know, the adults know better. They just take advantage.
So walk us into this group. Let's say we're hearing this and we're like, oh, yeah, this is kind of me. And we're going to say Tuesday afternoons, it's cool, 4:30, I could be there. When I walk in the door, what kind of stuff do I do? What do I expect? What do I see?
When you walk in, you're going to see, well, us, we welcome you. And then we explain to you what's going to happen during the meeting. But we talk a lot about communication. We set goals and boundaries.
Are there ways to communicate with people who are struggling with substance use that work better, I guess?
Yes, we got to. You got to treat them with a sting. Give them a bite. Use I and you and we statements. And you actually, you know, sting, you know, like, you make me feel this way, and I would appreciate if you didn't.
Now, you've got like, science behind
yeah,
this stuff, huh?
Yeah, the way you said it, you said
where,
yeah.
Where are you drawing your source material from?
Smart Recovery and the book on craft. This is a book we
use. Not the Macaroni Craft.
No, not the Macaroni Craft.
This is with
the
C.
The book is actually Get Your Loved Ones Sober, Alternatives, Nagging, Pleading, and Threatening. It's based on craft, community reinforcement, and recovery family training.
But it's easier said than done. You know, we, from the outside, I can easily say, you know what, you need to get your kid out of there. You know, he's 43 years old, get him out of the house. Lock the door, kick him out, that's it. But now, you know, I would have easily stood by that years, but now that, you know, I'm a mom too now.
Change the lock. He probably is.
I don't know what I could do. I mean, you don't want to see your son out in the streets.
We give you options on what to do.
I didn't name them Mijo for nothing.
It's just, you know, you don't want to see your loved ones.
Yeah,
and maybe I'll just give them, like you said, just to appease them, just, you know, here's some money, get your drugs, but at least he's not living out in the streets, and they have food here in the home, there's a bed. You know, and
that's when you get rules to live by. You know, we'll set ground rules. We'll go over with the families on rules to live by. Like, if you notice your kid's been in the bathroom for more than 10 minutes, put that on a piece of paper and make them sign it. You know, you cannot spend more than 6 minutes in the bathroom. You have to be home by at least 12 o'clock. Kitchens only open certain hours of the day. Make sure you follow the rules, too. Well,
you're making it gosh darned inconvenient.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? If you want to live underneath our roof, we had rules before you moved in. There's always been rules, but because you have an addictive behavior, you know?
You're good at that.
Yeah.
You get that.
But, Mom, I hear that all day long.
It doesn't matter, though, huh?
But this is coming from a 30-year-old or a 40-year-old.
Yeah. I need that. But, you have to make it, you know, hard for,
it's kind of like a supportive structure in a weird way, because it supports people working towards becoming more responsible for their behaviors.
Yes.
Huh?
And we have parents that come in that, one, their kid leaves paraphernalia all over. So it's like, you know, that's another rule to put on the rule list. Keep paraphernalia in a box outside or leave it outside the property, whatever.
I find it, I destroy it.
Yeah.
Or I find it and I call
the law.
FBI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make sure that they understand. Make sure that the person with addictive behavior understands that you're going to stick to your guns. If not, it's going to be out the door or jail.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way to deal with them, because you have to be tough with them. They are not dumb. Mm-hmm. I wasn't dumb in my youth, you know. Mm-hmm. We know how to manipulate. We know how to. So we teach you how to get around the manipulation.
Well, there's a lot at stake.
Yeah.
People are invested regardless of what they're invested in, especially if it's reached a point where we can start throwing the addiction word around.
Yeah.
Pretty much in.
Yeah.
And so they're willing to do lots of things to keep it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it's hard.
Yeah, it is. And we have seen also the other ones is that, you know, parents are afraid of their kids. you know, if their parents are elderly and, you know, the kids are also in the court.
Hostage-taking work. The kid's not taking themselves hostage. Mom, if you do that to me, I'm going to die. You know, that's like taking yourself hostage. No, it's like, Mom, if you do that to me, you're toast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's when they need to kick them out and just, you know, call it
call the police.
Restrain
call
her
the police.
Time.
Call the police.
There's no help for you if they're threatening, you know. It's okay for the parent to threaten nag, but if the kid threaten nags, that's when they need to be kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
Or something needs to be done. They either need to get options to go to recovery or something. Because there is no way that you can live with somebody like that. Mm-hmm. Or you have to stay in your room because you're afraid of
safety,
living.
Safety issues. Mm-hmm. Safety is where you start drawing the line.
Yeah.
Huh?
Do you go safety. Over safety issues in your groups?
Somewhat, but not really. We don't have to, really.
Mm-hmm.
The parents that come to our group, they already know what they want. They're already motivated. So we're just basically helping them out, pushing their family member into recovery or helping them the best that we can.
So they're way motivated. All they're looking for are some tools that they can use every day.
Yeah, to become more motivated.
To help get it over the edge.
Can people go to your family and friend support groups without having their family or a friend in one of your smart groups?
Oh, yes. They're more than welcome. I actually encourage it, yes. Because, well, seeing how I work with both, you know, it does push them in. But we like to work with them also without the addict. And this mm-hmm. is for friends and family only. So they are able to express their emotions on the person with addictive behavior. So as long as they're expressing and they're learning ways on how to control, well, I shouldn't say control, on how to deal with their own problems, then that's what we want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how to self-manage. It's back to self-management.
Yeah, self-management. Yeah, and that's what they need to learn. Everybody needs a little bit of self-management.
You also give them tools?
We give them a lot of tools, yes. Like communication skills, coping with urges. Like they have urges too. Like they have urges to want to enable their family members to give in.
Give them that money.
Yeah, give them that money just so they'll shut up.
Mm-hmm.
That's an urge for them. As with an addict, an urge would be like to go use, but their urges are different.
So what do I do with that? How do I manage that urge?
We give you
What are my little secrets here?
Self-help.
Give us
talks.
A free gift.
Yeah. Self-help talks work. Grounding exercises.
So self-help. So let's go slow. Self-help talk. What does that sound like?
I can do this. I don't have to listen to him. I can always walk away.
Here we go again. It's the same old story. I don't have to give in this
time. It's going
to
be the same sob story. But play it over and over. And, you know, if you have to, look in the mirror and say it. I do not have to listen to this. I am a grown adult. He is just wanting his way, and I'm not going to give it. And it seems to help.
Okay, so that's self-talk. What's another one?
Self-help talk, grounding exercises. Mm. Walk away. Grounding exercises are really good, though.
Dig
your feet into the ground or your heel of your foot into the ground or, you know, rub something, you know, just grounding exercises.
How does that work?
Yeah, how would that help with somebody, let's say that their adult child is telling them, you know, I need money. I need mom, I need money. I need to get, I need stuff, you know, to make me feel good. I'm feeling horrible. You know, I need to go get some.
We have a lady that does crocheting. When her kid gets out of control and stuff, she crochets. And that seems to help her. It calms her down is crocheting because she's got to concentrate on the
And blocking off. In other words, she's blocking off.
Yeah, it's like escaping.
So not getting caught up in the moment, basically.
Yeah, basically. Or like Don right now, he picked up his pen.
He picked up his pen, he started clicking. I was like, yeah, that works.
Yeah, it does.
Or like, I do that in meetings, but it's annoying. Because
my kid, and so when I'm nagging at him and stuff, it don't make things better. So I just keep quiet and I observe. I sit back and observe his behaviors. And that seems to help, too. It helps me understand what he's going through.
Mm-hmm.
How about setting boundaries? I'm thinking back
setting
to my little baby kid days. And one of the things I did with my kids that was a really neat trick and it worked.
Let's see. Maybe it could help for me.
when they came at me loud, I would say, I'm sorry you're yelling at me. I can't hear you. Please, if you could talk to me quietly, I could probably better understand what you're trying to say, and we could deal with it. And I stuck to it. You know, I never answered a yell, ever, with anything but that boundary. And so people don't yell at me. People don't even talk to me from other rooms. I don't get this, you know, from the kitchen to the living room, Scott, because I basically trained everybody. I don't respond well to that.
I need to use that. I don't know if it's too late.
Well, because, you know, you're already doing something. I'm already doing something, right? And so if I stop and get up and walk over and deal with whoever's yelling at me from the other room, what if it's less important than the thing I was doing? I'm already all the way over there.
Well,
it's
with
kind
your
of
children, everything
late
should be
to
important.
Back off. It's important if it's quiet.
Yeah.
And teaching them to be quiet is also important.
That's impossible. In my house, it's impossible. I have 6 children at home right now, so it's, like, really impossible. And they are all under the age of 10.
The quietest one gets whatever they want, and the loudest ones don't. Ha!
Oh, no.
Try that one for a week.
I like them. You know, we actually play a game, be as loud as we possibly can in the house, you know. And that's like a game on Family Night.
That's the game I would say, okay, let's play the game, and then I would
be
close
quiet.
The front door and run.
No, but it's actually nice. And that also helps, too. It helps.
But that's see that one of the things is boundaries. You're bringing up a good point because boundaries are really individual.
Yes.
And so
what
for
works
me,
for you
might
not work for somebody else.
Yeah. So we like to work on boundaries. We'll set them down and have them write all their goals on a thing, you know, on a piece of paper. Actually, I just did a goal board. Write all their goals on.
Was that one
of
your
paper.
Goals?
Yeah.
Goal.
Yes.
Yeah. And we actually do that. Set goals and boundaries and. Some people have, like, their main goal and their main boundary is getting them to respect. But you got to respect that. Well, I'm saying you give them respect, but they don't give respect back.
You don't. I would have to operationalize that, too, because, you know, what does respect look like, frankly? You know,
like I just said,
yelling at me is, to me, not respectful.
Yeah, that's
and for you, it's less of an issue because you've got 6 kids and you're kind of got your volume set on a higher notch.
Yeah. But respect, a lot of respect in the home is what we like to teach. Respect, boundaries, values, goals is just...
What's the key to stuff like that? Is it doing it yourself? Is it having really evil punishments if they don't do it? You know, what kind of stuff really clicks?
When I set boundaries and goals, I sit down and think of all the things that I want to change in my household. You know, and those are those turn into your values, your long-term goal in the end. What do you want? And sit there. It's really hard to think. What do you really want?
A pony?
No, in your home.
Bill?
A pony?
Bill, Scott?
Yeah, it'll fit. You know, the hallways are pretty big.
In your home, what do you really want? Respect. You want cleanliness. You want
safety.
You want to quit nagging, and those are goals. Those are boundaries, and you got to work towards each.
I want to watch what I watch on TV and not have to share.
That's why you just don't have a TV, because that's a babysitter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you read.
Well, it's my babysitter, not my kids.
It's for you.
Dang, that's a hard question, because my goals and
so you
kind of,
but you, what,
yeah.
you, what
yeah,
I'm hearing you say
just,
is you envision. You basically sit down and say, this is really where I think I want to go right now.
Yeah.
But each one has their own goals.
Yeah, have their own goals and boundaries. And most of them are respect. They want respect. They want not to have to stay up all night and worry. So we give them different techniques on how to work on that. And that's how we work off of that.
Do you have to, for family and friends, sometimes do you have to kind of let go of nagging about the use?
Yes. Just let go. Just, it's not there, you know?
Oh.
Start ignoring the problem. Not ignoring the problem,
well,
but, you know,
because
rather
you,
than
you're dealing with the coming in late, you're dealing with the money, you're dealing with the food, you're dealing with all these areas.
Yeah, stop. Stop paying. Stop, you know, stop nagging.
So you don't
know
have to
they're
talk
already
going
to come in high. You know,
you've made it too hard already.
Or drunk or whatever, you know. Acknowledge it and move on. Don't make it with an argument. You know, be like, I'd appreciate it if you did not come home like that. If you're going to come home like that again, please do not come home at all.
And when, I think one of the, for a family member, I would be not concerned, but when do you set those limits, or when do you talk to them if you have someone that's high all the time? you know,
right when they wake up in the morning.
Right when they wake up, when they're feeling the worst. Another
the least high.
Well, because that's when they feel the worst. I can't talk to them because they're coming down with, like you said, the malaria.
Yeah, but then that's when reality kicks in, is because they're coming down with the malaria, and they are going to have to know that they have to change. And if you do it when they're having malaria, that's, you know, yeah, it's going to get aggravating to the person with the addictive behavior, but...
Walk in and say, good morning, sunshine. How are you feeling today? Isn't it a beautiful
we need
day?
To sit down and have a family
curtains for you.
Yeah. Family group time, you know? It's going to be every morning at this time, you know?
Hey, I got this brand new Slayer CD. You want to hear it?
But that's when... Well, whenever they're sober, well, if you can't find them sober, then get them right when they walk in the door. Most time they'll be too busy, but get them at a good time when you know it's good, and when you know that they're not already.
So you choose your time and place, basically.
Yeah, you observe them and make sure that they're not already suffering from something else, because it could always backfire too. Mm-hmm. Like they could have had a bad day and it'll all snap back on you. But you observe them for a little bit, see how their day's going, and then you'll just bring up, you know, look, we need to have a family meeting, and make sure that when you do have a family meeting, everybody in the household attends except for.
And that's not nagging, right?
Yeah, and that's not nagging.
Okay.
It's not nagging.
We need to have a family meeting, and guess what's on the agenda, buddy?
Yeah.
I mean, really, huh?
And if you do that enough, that's going to make them, or put it in their head that, you know, it's either going to put them in their head that they don't want this behavior
Billy,
here.
Billy, Bobby, and Susie are doing just fine. Now let's talk about you.
You, yeah. So, yeah, and if everybody comes together and
acknowledges I got a question. I'm curious about this. Balance point, because... I'm hearing the tough love. I'm hearing the boundaries. I'm hearing that, you know, you gotta be this way with people, and what about the flip side? What about what we know scientifically about people with substance use problem? Many of them were severely abused as children. Many of them have had very, very difficult lives. Many of them have mental health issues that. Because of the way that they've been treated, have resulted in substance use. How do you balance compassion and boundaries?
How do we balance it? I work on self-esteem. You know, self-esteem issues with smart recovery and craft also, with the family members too, because the family member can, you know, the person with addictive behavior can, you know, because they've had a lot of abuse and stuff. So we give them self-esteem issue or self-esteem. Work on a lot of relaxation techniques, self-esteem, and we send them to you.
To Behavior Health.
Yes, Behavior Health.
So can I set boundaries and still love and care for the person?
Yes, we can.
That's,
yes.
I guess, the question.
Yes, that is a good question. And, yeah, you can. You can actually set boundaries and let them know that you're doing this for your own good, you know. You have a future. Mm-hmm. We're doing this because we want to help you have a better future. You are our future. And, you know, give them positive and a negative at the same time. And that seems to work, too.
Speaking of the future, next Tuesday you're going to be doing all these meetings again. Why don't you give people the contact mm-hmm. information and where to go for all the meetings?
Okay. For, I don't have my flyer for the other meetings. I think it's over there. On Tuesdays... Our meeting is at Imperial County Behavior Health, 1295 State Street, El Centro, California, from 4:30 to 5:45. I will be there. And then it's on the back of that yellow flyer. And then I have meetings every Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6:30 until 8. I do stay until 9 o'clock if you do have, like, DEJ classes that you need to go to. It's on... it's at Ryerson Hall, 225 Wake Street, El Centro, California, from 6:30 to 8. And you could contact me or Don. Don cell is 760-427-3185, or my cell is 760-222-2493.
Okay, so let's say I'm working on Tuesdays and there's just no way I can get out there. Is there another way for me to access Smart Recovery?
Yes, you could go online at www.smartrecovery.org. They have meetings every night. Every Monday night, they have family and friends group meetings.
Online,
yes. And, it's a good show, or a good meeting.
Do you hang out there?
No, sometimes, yeah, sometimes.
Cool.
Everybody there is a family connected. And they do have tools online as well. Like if you hear, like a CBA, they do have that online. You can pull it up and copy it, and you could do it yourself at home. If if you cannot make it to my meetings, I prefer you guys go online.
Online.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm there late after 8 o'clock, you know, to help you guys. If you guys, I do understand, like, DEJ runs late. Until
Do you have several people going to the smart recovery groups that are mandated?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I have 4 people that are mandated.
And the other 2 are just because they want to get the help.
Yeah, because they want to get the help.
You know what? But mandated isn't really mandated, is it? You still got to get your body up and get it in motion and go. So it's really still you making the choice.
Yes. We have the choices. We're not powerless.
Yeah.
And if you want to blame the mandate, you blame the mandate. But it's still you getting up and going.
Yeah. And I'm always there. You know, there may not be people in my groups. I'm always there. And that's what they need to do, is make an effort too, because, you know, we're there for a reason. We're there to help you guys. And we've all been through this. So, you know, that's what we're here for, is to help one another. And it is a support group. So there's nothing like support groups.
Great. Now, if people come next Tuesday and they say that they heard about it on Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness in the Imperial Valley, will you give them, like, a coffee cup or something?
No.
No. Scott, you always are saying that. No, there's no coffee cup.
Well, because
there's no coffee
you
cup.
Know, like, the minute we did that, thousands of people would show up because, you know, coffee cups.
But today,
loyal listeners.
Today there's a group.
Yes, today. There's a group tonight at 6:30.
At 6:30.
You're more than welcome to come. Everybody's more than welcome to come. And actually, we're going over self-esteem. I love me exercises today. So
I love you, too.
It's a real good it's a real good exercise. And it lets us know what we love about each other. And then everybody in the room, what everybody in the room thinks about us, negative or positive, you know. But it's an I love me exercise.
Well, it would be nice if just people who are listening, you know, just show up there, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean, you know, you're committed to going, you know, from now on. Just show up, see, you know, how it is, get the feel for it, and then from there on.
And if you are actually court mandated, hey, why not?
Yeah.
And it's free.
Yeah, and it's free. And it's knowledgeable. And you'll feel good walking, or you'll feel, when you leave, you'll feel good about yourself. Well, especially today, you'll feel good about yourself. You'll turn that frown upside down.
Nice.
And, yeah, that's what we're working on today.
Okay. Thanks for coming aboard today, Susan.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And we appreciate all you're doing out in the community, because this is, you know, it's this kind of pulling, it's this kind of oar work that gets us from one place to another, and it takes somebody willing to stand and deliver, and for a year now, you've been standing and delivering, and that deserves some credit.
It's been a long year.
yay team.
Yeah.
And a
and
new
with the
year.
Help of Dawn and you and... Yeah, we've kept it going.
Yeah.
But mostly Don. He's kept us motivated.
Okay.
So
again, there are a lot of people in the community that can vouch for that.
Yeah.
Yes.
He keeps me motivated, and he's on my feet. So, you know, it's like, yeah, and I'm looking forward to my next step. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Don, for coming.
Oh, thank you.
Our silent partner.
Yes.
Don Gronk.
Yes.
Can I say something in closing?
You can, absolutely. Bringing us home.
You know, I think it's important to note that the SMART group is just another choice out there for you. It's not to replace any of the other recovery programs,
true.
But just another choice. It's like having this banquet table, and we're just putting another piece of pie out there on the banquet table, something else for you to choose from. Because what we understand, we're not everything to everybody. And our main goal in life is to help you get help for yourself. If it's SMART, great. If it's another recovery program, that's great too. But we're just here to help.
Yeah. And we no longer have residential treatment here. But do you have information of where other resources?
Well, Behavior Health, if they haven't, I think they were trying to sign a contract. I'm hoping it's signed where if you think you need residential treatment, then you go through Behavioral Health, and we have a contract, I believe, with McAllister Institute in El Cajon that does residential program, everything from a 14-day detox to a program called Kiva, which is a women's program for women, children, mothers with children, and so forth. And I think they even have some transitional living houses, but mainly probably the 14-day co-ed detox, social model detox, and the Kiva program, which is probably one of the best women's program possibly in the country.
Well, and you know, we've got our local faith-based programs also.
Right. There's some good Christian programs in the Valley, you know. Like I say, we got this big bacon.
It's another choice.
Sweet potato pie.
Right.
Thanks for coming aboard, Don. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Maria.
Thank you. And next week we have Todd Sosna.
Oh, that's right. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yes, he's the deputy director of the California Institute of Mental Health. And,
California Institute of Mental Health.
And they're the reasons why we have family therapy at Behavioral Health, why we have trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy for kids.
He's the evidence-based dude,
yes,
isn't he?
Yes, he's the evidence-based. And soon to come other models. That we have multidimensional treatment foster care. We have it because of CIMH. So
I'm going to have to brush up on my acronyms. I can see that.
Yes. Yes. So next week, talk.
Speaking of California Institute of Mental Health.
CIMH.
The California Institute of Mental Health. He'll actually be handing out free mental health to listeners, so tune in.
Yeah. But stay tuned for next
week. Got me. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye. Have a good weekend.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.